A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. By the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations will seek him out, and his dwelling will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Will you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Being around these kids all week and at the rehearsal on Wednesday has me all in my memories and feelings about what it was like to be dressed up and propped up in front of grandparents and friends and strangers to tell the Christmas story. I think maybe the most difficult part of growing up is learning how to wait. Can you remember how that felt? A modern psalmist from my youth and from my home state, he penned the anthem of this waiting the year I was born, Tom Petty. The waiting is the hardest part. Do you remember the ways that you had to wait or some of the helps in your wait when you were a kid? Making paper chains to help you wait? Tearing off a link each day? Moms and dads are geniuses for these cheap and semi-effective markers of time. Do you remember road trips? Do you remember saying, "Are we there yet?" Mom, dad, sorry, I now understand. Being a kid in the 80s and 90s was like a total waiting game compared to, quote, kids these days. Apologies to previous generations to whom we were the kids these days. We had to wait for American Online to load, wait for the CD to go into the CD-ROM drive when the tray pops out and all that stuff. There was truly insane sounds coming from those dial-up modems. We had to wait for the phone to ring or the letter to arrive. Even like so-called fast food chains were pretty slow compared to now. Over these last 40 years, perhaps nothing has been more prized than efficiency and speed, and things have to be fast and global, scale, big, here, now, instantly, already. For all the ways that our lives are improved by these changes, sometimes, one thing seems to have gone severely out of style: waiting. Which is a shame, considering it is a core Christian way of being in the world to start with waiting. Our Advent calendar starts with waiting. We are to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Before we even speak, we listen for God to speak. Before we move, we wait for God to show us the way. Advent starts our year, and we join into Advent by preparing an expectant hope for the arrival of God. This waiting is hard. It's excruciating. Advent reminds us of the thousands of years that God's people waited and hoped for a Messiah, a Savior, the one who would liberate them from slavery to sin and death and decay, a king who would guide them in the way of peace. Generations upon generations waited. Perhaps this is summed up best in a couple of nativity characters that actually they got clipped from our pageant today. Read on this week. Continue in Luke 2. Take Simeon, which Luke says is a man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Or take Anna. It says she was now a 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She had a life long formed in hope and waiting. They were steeped in waiting. I can imagine them waking up every morning and looking out their windows for that Isaiah scene to be taking shape. Wolves and lambs and kids and snakes. I can imagine them looking around at the stumps of their world, examining for a shoot to pop up, some beginning of a new beginning, for new and surprising life to come to dead and severed places, for God's Spirit to generate tangible and seemingly impossible peace. In a place and time occupied by violence and power, they hoped for wisdom and understanding, planning and strength, knowledge and worship. They yearned, and they probably thought sometimes they were yearning in vain, because waiting and waiting and waiting some more sometimes feels dumb while you're doing it. They wanted someone who would come to see the world aright, to set the world aright, not judging by appearances or trafficking in fake news or expectations, but someone who would be with and for those who suffer in the land. And you know what? Their waiting paid off. They got what they waited for. More accurately, they got who they waited for. Upon welcoming Jesus' parents, they laid their eyes and their hands on the object of their waiting, the arrival of God, the one with the Spirit of the Lord upon him, the little child leading. This is incredible, but it's also terribly ironic. After all that waiting, generations upon generations, millennia of waiting, God arrives, takes on flesh and blood, and moves into the neighborhood, as Stone read, their neighborhood, our neighborhood, not in some turnkey way, but in the form of a baby. Wait thousands of years, and then, it seems like our gospel stories say, wait 30 more. The church continues to wait. Wait for this God of slow and small to learn how to wean and walk, for the word was made flesh to learn how to speak, for God's Spirit and God's mother to help him grow in wisdom and understanding and maturity and manners? Have you considered that Mary and Joseph taught Jesus how to say sorry? Taught Jesus how to make friends? Taught Jesus how to pray? There's this long gap in the gospel, the story of Jesus' childhood. And I think that gap is there mostly because it was incredibly normal. What if this is the how of God's arrival? The how of God's arrival, then and still, slow and small, waiting and waiting and waiting some more, then, is not threatening and all that normal stuff of our lives that sometimes seems like it's getting in the way of God's stuff, crying babies and laundry and dishes and interruptions and disappointments, life with neighbors. Maybe then it's not competition. Maybe then it's not incidental to the action of God in our lives, but maybe it is part of God's action in our lives. What if the same Spirit that was upon this little Messiah that blooms into his full-blown ministry of good news to the poor, release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, liberation to the oppressed, jubilee, what if that same Spirit only comes to us by cultivating small, slow lives of joining with God in this waiting and then greeting him when he arrives? I'm not saying that we need to become comfortable or complacent. We'd be getting it wrong if we did that. Like, our world desperately needs God's arrival soon, fast. Look around at this beautiful, broken place. We need Jesus to show up, and that return will be dramatic and potent. But be prepared for Jesus to show up again the way he showed up originally, bringing about new creation among the least, the last, the lost, the littlest, the closest to death, bringing hope to those who are just about done, bringing peace to those who can hardly imagine it, bringing joy to those who weep through the night, and God's incandescent love in the shape of a small flickering candle. Waiting well means having eyes to see and ears to hear and imaginations to conceive and hands to receive. Just because we're waiting, just because it's taking seemingly forever, doesn't mean something is wrong or that we're not doing something right. Quite the contrary, the Lord is coming slowly but soon. Slowly but soon. God of slow and small, continue to teach us to wait in joyful hope for your coming. Help us recognize and join in the many ways that you still do. Will you all pray with me? Jesus, thank you for these little ones who communicate to us just in their presence your good news, that you are with us, that you are making things new, that you are making us new, that you are working in this world through vulnerability and curiosity and wonder, that you have chosen small things and foolish things and slow things to teach us, to correct us, and to guide us. Shape our hope. Fill our hearts. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.